Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Give us a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. All right, Eon Foundation organisation that organises fruit, veggie gardens, boosts nutrition and budgets in remote NT communities. Been operating and coming up to about 20-odd years. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Deadly Sister, Donna Dunzel, Eon Foundation's NT Operations Manager on the line. Donna, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, sister.
So I'm born and bred from Katherine, but my grandfather was a Wanyagarawa man from the Dumaji, Burketown, Lawn Hill region.
Yeah, my country, my mob. So we've got a connection there, Donna.
We do.
Thank you very much. So fantastic. And so you're the operation manager, Eon Foundations NT. Tell us who Eon Foundation are, who they are, and how long they've been operating for, sister.
So the Eon Foundation is a non-for-profit organisation and we have been running since 2005. We turn 20 next year.
Congratulations.
And we are currently,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
We are currently in over 13 communities in the Northern Territory and 7 communities, I think, in Western Australia. And we have about 42 communities on our wait list.
Well, beautiful. So we're talking about a program that helps remote communities grow their own produce and has been launched in Central Australia. And like I said, been operating that coming up to 20 years in 2025. Look, high rates of diabetes and cardiovascular disease, but a diet of fresh fruit and veggies can reduce disease, of course, and household spending on high-priced store-bought goods. So this is a great concept in regarding health and regarding exercise and regarding diseases. It's a fantastic operation I'm picking up.
It is absolutely wonderful. So, you know, mob are, you know, more predisposition to get diabetes and heart disease and, you know, chronic diseases caused by lack of nutrition because where they live, you know, to get great food out there, it costs a lot of money. And then to buy that, you know, I was a single mum at 18, so I know full well how much it costs to raise a family on pittance. So food choices go down. So
exactly.
To feed a big family, when you've got biggest mob people living in your house, you know, you're going to always choose stuff that's going to go a long way. And unfortunately, that stuff is cheaper and poorer quality. So the Eon Foundation is an invite-only organisation, and we come into communities and we build sustainable edible vegetable gardens and then teach healthy nutrition from those gardens.
Well, I love the concept, but I love the idea of invite only. So you're not pushing this on people. The community itself has got to reach out to you, is what I'm picking up. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
If you look at Umbladderwitch, which is in Central Australia, there are roughly 500 people who live in that community.
Yep.
And over 250 of those mob have diabetes. So they contacted us and asked us to come down there and, you know, build a veggie garden and teach mob, you know, about cooking. Yeah,
beautiful. And so how many communities have taken on your gardens?
So in the top end, we are in the Big Rivers region. We're in 12 communities.
Whoa.
And then 2 in Central Australia, and I think it's about 7 in WA.
This should be templated across the country, my sister.
Oh, that's my plan.
Yeah.
One day I want it in every community in Australia.
But then once they know it and they're taught it, then they can act on it, and then it become, we are creatures of habit, human beings. So then we create a habit, takes 30 days to create a habit, is what I'm taught. So once we do it, we know it, we can continue this, and our children are learning, and it becomes, the necessity of life.
Absolutely, and that's the aim of the program, is to hand it over to Mob.
Yep.
So they know exactly what to do, how to do it, and to keep it going. And we're in the process of doing our cost-benefit analysis. So in the Northern Territory, in the communities that we've been in for 5 years, diabetes is on its way down.
Yeah, beautiful.
So we're absolutely over the moon over that.
And this could be a cheaper way than having dialysis machines in communities, you know, and just get people off dialysis machines. And, we're talking life expectancy, living longer.
Oh, absolutely. For every dollar that the Australian government spends on, diabetes, it costs. For every dollar that we put into the Eon Foundation, it saves about $8 for the federal government. Yeah,
well, this is a smarter way and a cheaper way of saving lives, and and creating. Well, an environment, it becomes like a business entity too, does it not? I mean, you can sell the produce you're making as well, can't you?
Absolutely, and we have kids at the moment. We've got Mataranka markets on every week, and the kids from Jiltmingan community go in there and sell their produce and their preserves and jams and chilli sauces. And so,
too deadly. Fantastic. So how long have you been operating? You're coming up to 20 years. First Nation staff on board with Eon Foundations?
Yes, there is. We're currently at 57% and growing.
Good.
And we employ community assistants in community to keep the program going. So we're a fortnightly rotation. So each fortnight we're on community for 3.5 days.
Yeah.
And then on the week that we're not there, community mob look after the garden and keep the program going.
I'm loving it. So fantastic. Congratulations. And you guys got a web page. Can we check out your operation? And if to a community mob out there, if they want to engage in you, it's up to them to reach out to you. Is that right?
Correct.
And
so
www.eonfoundation.org.au. eonfoundations.org.au.
Correct.
To Delhi. Donna, great talking with you. Thank you so much. A fantastic congratulations. Big shout out to your Delhi team and big shout out to Delhi communities who are on board and the Delhi communities who are about to come on board. I will say that, Donna.
Thank you.
All the best. You have a great day. Keep smiling, sis.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Ta-da.
A deadly Donna, Don Zhao, her name is, a sister who's the operation manager for Eon Foundations NT. Look, they are creating fruit and veggie gardens, and it's boost nutrition and budgets in remote NT communities and also now in central Australia. So, look, there it is, your mob. Do check them out. If you're a mayor, or if you're a CEO, or if you're just a brother or sister there fishing there on your community and you're thinking, I want to save my mob, my family here, get in touch with Eon Foundations and let's start the fruit and veggie gardens. I mean, we were the healthy race living on planet Earth at one stage. Let's get that trophy back. Too deadly. Have you say, Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. A big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service. Thank you for putting us across the airwaves, across the country. And a big shout out to, of course, Bama Bipa Media, the radio station here in Cairns, First Nation radio station in Cairns, 98.7 FM, to management here, and also the staff, the team, and also the directors of Bama Bipa Media. Too deadly. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Fighting for our rights in the land of the indigenous, we got to stand up for our rights. Wait, no. Australian bites. To the coral gates of the Torres Straits. You know where we all stand. Voices of this land and the spirit of the Torres Strait. Come together as one in the land of indigenous.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now 1-800-422-416.
gotta show them, gotta teach them, so they know now.
Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community, and we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our national talk flag, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team. Hope you're well. And Yarn Up Song here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program. Very excited to deliver this fantastic program. And yarning all deadly yarns. Don't worry about that. And the yarn we're having today, we're going to catch up a yarn there with two deadly beautiful sisters, with Sharon and Kavanagh Lusking. She's with the Illuminate F&Q, and also her bodyguard, Irene Patelli, we would say. And she's with Circular Economy F&Q. And we're talking about, International Science and Eco Fest. We're talking about the International First Nation Space Scientists, Science and Environment. Look, we are professors in all fields and, of course, in science. And that's what we're going to yarn about with our mob. A very good morning, ladies. How are we?
Good, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Pretty fabulous.
Pretty fabulous. Thank you very much, Irene. Start with you, Sharon. Who are you, mob? Where are you from?
Trevor, I'm from Kugiawi, up Lockhart way. And my dad's side, we're Wanneroo, Singleton, New South Wales, and Yerikanji in tropical North Queensland, yes. Cairns.
Beautiful, fantastic. Irene Patelli, who you mob were you from? Who's Irene Patelli?
I am Maltese, so I am EU saltwater people, so first generation Australian, but I grew up on Mamu country in Innisfail.
All right, beautiful, fantastic. Ladies, thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about International Science and Eco Fest, and we're talking about a joint venture for different organisations. I did mention Illuminate F&Q, Circular Economy F&Q, where you sit, Irene. Also Cairns Rehab Turtle Centre and Cairns Children Museum. So paint the picture, ladies, to what vehicle we're driving here.
Oh, yes. Trevor, we are hosting the second First Nations Festival on the planet to be led by First Nations scientists. We recently had held our science festival a couple of years ago where we had a former female astronaut from NASA come and launch our festival.
Whoa.
And it's about bringing science into the community agenda to start answering serious questions about serious issues.
Yes.
Through an evidence-based format. And so one of the things that we wanted to do, so our mob, we do festivals really, really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And people turn up in our communities, you know, to engage in festivals and events. So one of the things that we wanted to do is bring the element that we have, that cultural element around festivals, and mm-hmm. marrying that better with First Nations traditional science, and also marrying that with scientists in the community. So one of the things that we don't have in our region, so the closest science, big science festival is thousands of kilometres away.
Sure.
And so if we're trying to grow STEM within our region and bring science into the community agenda,
mm-hmm.
we do need to start with, you know, having those engagements around, you know, STEM through a practical and safe space and safe platforms, and hosting a science festival,
yes.
is what we're all about. We are all First Nations Black females.
Yes. Girls can do anything.
That's it.
Absolutely.
And we're the only all-black female science company in the country, and our job is to drive our pink bulldozers.
Pink bulldozers. Love it.
For our communities. And getting yes. our kids, you know, interested in space and science and
mm-hmm.
and just being able to, you know, have those conversations. So and marry them with the stories that we have in our communities that our elders have passed on to us.
Yeah, so true, so true. Like I said, we are professionals in all fields, all industries, when you talk about First Nation people, 60,000 years, you know what I mean? We survived well before colonisation came, you know what I mean? So
thrived. Thrived.
Well, there you go. Exactly. So, Sharon, that's Illuminate FNQ in the hat you wear. So, Irene, I'll bring you into the conversation, Circular Economy FNQ, and talk about how the joint venture happened in regard to four organizations. Two other representatives are not here, but we can talk about that as well.
First, it was really around Salty Monkey's EcoFins. We came together around that because it's made from 80% recycled plastics. It's not commercialized yet, but it's on a runway to become so. And our interest is in the science element of how do we make plastic recyclable and in a way have a low carbon footprint. So we've been looking out for 3D manufacturing that goes from flake directly to printing because there's a real big waste problem of plastic ocean waste, right?
Yes, exactly.
And to highlight how we could divert that waste from going not only into the ocean but being sent down south, we've identified a 3D printer that will print houses out of plastic.
Print houses out of plastic?
Yes. 3 tons of plastic is used in every single house. So we've got a studio apartment, a one-bedroom one, a two-bedroom one, and a three-bedroom one that can all be manufactured on country in cans and...
From plastic, from rubbish.
So we pay for our plastic to be shipped down to Melbourne, turned into a filament, and then printed in Brisbane. Whoa. Now, injection moulds, we can't disrupt because the PET plastic needs to be injection mould. But the other 4 types of plastics we can take, we can actually deal with them in country. So a flaker, that will turn it into a 1 centimetre squared flake, and then it prints at a high speed volume. So we can print a house every 1.5 days, and it takes 2 weeks to build. And we'll use local mob.
And I'm probably talking cheap as well.
Yep. $120k for the one bedroom one, and that's not including the footing and
granny flat right there.
That's a granny flat right there, and guess
or doghouse when I'm in trouble.
Doghouse that you probably won't want to come out of because it's cool
as.
Because the innovator is an architect and an engineer, so it's not like this basic donger design. No. It's like got this curved. It's like, you know,
so forget
Lord of
containers.
Yeah, forget containers and dongers. That's like old school.
Thank you. This is 21st century.
And it's passive, right?
Yes.
So it means you need less solar on the house to be able to, and you don't need air conditioning because it's got this cooling system built into. I know. You know what? This
Shut
is.
Your mouth.
I know, but this is. You know what? This is just using nature.
Yes.
Like, you know, like using things in circularity. Now, if you think about how long plastic lasts in the environment.
Exactly.
How long do you think this plastic house is going to last?
Okay.
Without any maintenance. Mm. Like when you have a timber house, nearly every 10 to 15 years, you're spending $50,000 to $70,000 to replace, repair, or if you've got a growing family, extend. Whereas this is, it's showing that more smaller houses are required, especially in Indigenous communities.
Yeah.
You know, having a communal space for food and having the shower, you know, having that kind of design.
And a cool place, because it's hot out there in communities.
Oh, my God, and it's going to get hotter.
Of Australia. And look, that is... that science is very deadly.
It is very deadly.
Very deadly.
Yeah. So it came from trying to understand, like we're running out of time. We got 6 years. The next 6 years, what we do to make climate change happen, we need nerds.
Yeah, sure.
We
Thank
need
you.
Nerds. We need
Love
old
the nerds.
School.
Very
we
smart.
Need well, old school.
Smart. Old school. Old school. Yes. With the nerd thinking in the 21st century.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And keeping stuff simple.
Yeah, that's right.
And promoting that dialogue with partnerships in science and environmental planning, you know, for our local councils. I know that there's going to be a council meeting with all the Aboriginal councils here in Cairns next week. So,
Put this on the table.
We want to be able to offer
deputation coming up. There you go, exactly. You
know, promote that dialogue. So we are our own solutions for our own communities. We know what works best for
exactly.
us, and then and increase the public understanding and appreciation of what we know about the environment, what we know about traditional science, what we know that's already existing within our frameworks, and how do we then start developing that and growing that, further?
Exactly. Because I'm talking about the 4 companies at the table here, and you mentioned Cairns Rehab Turtle Centre, and when you're talking about plastic and talking about the pollution and the rubbish, Well, our beautiful turtles and marine life out there are eaten on this plastic, which is killing them.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
And worse.
And then Cairns Children Museum at the table as well, mm-hmm. getting our children trained and educated regarding looking after planet Earth. Instead of looking for life on planet Mars, let's look after this planet first. If you start them at young ages, then that mentality grows.
That's
and
correct.
And we look after Mother Earth.
And having the pipeline start early. So so our STEM pipeline starts from the Cairns Children's Museum. So they do naught to primary school.
Yes.
And then our company, Illuminate FNG, takes over at the high school level together with Circular Economy.
Yes.
And then we also look after, you know, the Accelerator program, which is university level.
So we go from primary school right through to high school to tertiary.
Right mm-hmm. through to tertiary. And we know that we can do it. So we started with a partnership over 20 years ago with the US Consul General Department in New South Wales. And so the US Consul General's department in New South Wales is responsible for New South Wales and Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
So our countrymen there over at Yarri.
Big shout out,
Big shout out to all them countrymen there, Glenys Noble, them your fluff.
Yep.
Yep. And all the mob from Bucky, you know, Arnie Diner and them. So we were able to take a group of kids from our community to America on a cultural exchange program. And part of that was to keeping them at school.
Yeah.
So, you know, it encouraged them to go to school. It encouraged them to save their own money. It encouraged them to fundraise and start working together in the community. Because their mamas wanted their little Johnnies to go to America.
Yeah, sure.
And it was a really good opportunity for us to sit down and start working out, like, okay, I need to, you know, work with all the women and the children. And
well, it broadens their horizons, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, every child should have a passport
at high school. Yep.
It should be a must. It should be a given. You know, you get a birth certificate and you get a passport because it creates opportunities to...
Well, education of life.
Exactly. Mm. And learn about other people's experience. So part of that program, we were, you know, we... there's been a whole lot of students there that, you know, have contributed to the society. You know, they're contributing to the tax economy. And one of our nephews who was part of that program was just become our first dentist.
Yes.
In our family, in our community at Yarri and Lockhart.
Beautiful, yes.
And it's about, you know, giving our kids and our families, our grandparents, the opportunity to say, our kids can do it. You know, what do you want for your grandchild?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
do you want for your godson? Mm-hmm. What do you want for your godchildren?
Well, we need pathways.
We do.
We need platforms.
And coming up with solutions, you know, to attract young people and community members about the importance of STEM education, the importance of science in our communities.
Exactly.
And making sure, you know, councils are planning for, you know, when they're doing the planning within our communities, making sure that we have science laboratories, you know, that we have laboratories that, you know, seed libraries in our communities,
sure.
that they're not sitting somewhere overseas, you know. The Australian Seed Library sits thousands of kilometres away
exactly.
from us.
Well, all communities have libraries. That could be a space where science labs sit in libraries. You know, I mean, it's just broaden the education and the opportunity for our young ones.
Correct. And we want to be able to advance traditional owners' knowledge of country,
yes.
you know, through an evidence-based model. You know, we want to be able to advance, you know, making sure that those traditional owners and their countrymen there are sitting at the table qualified and sitting at the table... making sure, you know, that they're sitting at the table with all the chief scientists, you know, all the chief scientists from all the states, rather than, you know, having us sit there as often sometimes we're you know, sat there as because they need us to be at the table.
Ticking box, rather, so to speak.
Yeah, rather than being properly engaged.
Got to be engaged in more ways. One, Irene, back to you regarding the beautiful houses you're talking about, regarding the plastic, the rubbish, and turn it into modules to build houses. Opportunity for black people to be at that table as well.
Absolutely.
In their own community.
Absolutely.
Living in the the houses.
Absolutely. Yes. Like, and what we want to do, because we need 1.2 million houses in Australia, right?
Sure.
So what we want to do is we want to make the space that we're going for our joint space, to be a centre of training. So we can bring mob down from country, put them through. They need to build two houses to be fully certified and trained and signed off to be able to do it. We're filming the training, and we're going to have it translated in their local language. So if they ever need to review that training and tick off on it, they've got it there. So it's going to be not only jobs for building houses, but jobs for developing the education for learning how to build those houses. And then we have a constant, you know, like if you recommend someone to buy a house, we have a give back that we have, so that when you sell a house through someone seeing your house, you get a kickback. And we also give $500 per house to the local environmental group.
A business entity there as
absolutely.
Like a commission base or like entrepreneur space?
Absolutely. We're a certified social enterprise.
Okay, fantastic.
So we do entrepreneurship that gives back to community.
So let me say, any of the houses out there at the moment, have they been made? Are they out? Are they up and running?
We've got a couple being made in Cairns in the next couple of months, and then we'll have a, you know, an announcement and bring in.
Well, I was announcer here on radio with you. I need to go and look at this house.
You will be first on.
Thank you.
You'll be walking through the house first off. We've also got the vice president of the St. Vincent de Paul's, head in Brisbane. He's also a. Licensed builder, and we talked to him about it, and he mentored me for a bit through how we set this up, you know, in a way so that we can educate and bring everybody along with us. And he's keen as mustard to be on the first build site, not just walking through the house, but actually building
there.
It. You know what I mean?
There.
Like, so yeah, look, people love it.
This is a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
I mean.
It's a new understanding.
I know, but the government need to embrace this.
Oh, I haven't even told you the best part.
We're talking about 40,000 people coming in here as immigrants.
Mm.
Well, we're struggling with housing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to build more housing and need to build it cheaper and need to protect the environment and save our turtles. This is our 12-pronged spear.
And the first builders, I love that saying. Mm. I love that saying.
Three times you mention my name, and the fourth time you can have that, Irene. Thank you. Yeah. 12-pronged spear. Triple Tim.
So we're partnering with an Indigenous building company to do the first training, and they're Supply Nation certified.
Beautiful. Black people at the table.
Black people are front and centre.
You know, high tide rises all ships.
Absolutely. We,
and that's why these four beautiful companies here have joint venture with a concept in science, in education, in children, in housing, in saving the environment, saving our turtles.
Absolutely.
This is deadly,
girl. Well, this is Northern Australia. So Northern Australia is responsible for 7 World Heritage listed assets.
Thank you.
There is nowhere else in our Australia.
Yeah.
That has 7 World Heritage listed assets in Northern Australia. In Northern Australia, we need to grow STEM from our countrymen all the way to the west.
Yes, exactly.
And developing
we template across the country.
And developing Northern Australia is part of our vision.
Yes.
Because often we see that New South Wales and Victoria get all those research dollars because they have black academics, you know, sitting in those positions down there because it's, you know...
Southern base. We're hillbillies up here in far north Queensland.
Well, this is the deep north.
Yeah, thank you, deep north. I love that. Not south, we're north. So listen, with this, you guys hold conferences as such. Are you in the curriculum at schools? Paint that picture. How do people get involved, or how is this being educated to the people of the world in this country?
So will we be hosting the first... National STEM Framework Roundtable.
Okay.
So that'll be held at Trinity Bay High School in August this year, and we'll be hosting our second science festival, which is the International Space Science STEM and EcoFest. So those two events will be from the 16th to the 18th of August at Trinity Bay High School, and Trinity Bay High School is one of the largest Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander student population in the country.
Yes.
Cairns is really significant in Australia because it hosts the largest student population in the country. It has over 40,000 students that are doing studies remotely. And it's really, really interesting and exciting to be part of an awesome community.
You know,
we have World Heritage listed assets here.
We do.
We're responsible for one of the largest living organisms on the planet. And we need to make sure that our
Great Barrier Reef and the rainforest, yes.
Are highly skilled.
And front and center, exactly. Well, you look at Cairns Regional Council, we council here, the Cairns City, we have the highest population of Indigenous people percentage-wise compared to any other state city in this country. So we should be leading from the front in all those aspects.
That's correct. You know? So the student population is 37% in Cairns.
Yeah.
Cairns, the high school at Trinity Bay High School has over 70 different nationalities at that school.
Yep.
So it brings a whole range of diversity. We want to be able to partner with the migrant community, the refugee community.
It's a mini world.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, it's a replica of the mini world.
The principals of the schools would be excited, but the science teachers would be fired up about this as well.
They're just like firing on all pistons.
Thank you.
We are doing a school project at the moment at the high school. And looking at Mugra, which is a traditional ochre,
yes,
and looking at the properties and compounds that it has within there, what the soil level is, what the water content is, what the salt water content is, why it looks like the colour that it looks like.
Yes.
You know, there's the white from over at Bucky at Yarrabah.
A very strong ingredient for our cultural life, isn't it?
Correct. The gold, the beautiful gold over at Freshwater, and the traditional ochre colour, which fires, you know, when it's at certain pressure points, a beautiful purple.
Mm.
So we're just like teaching the kids about, you know, if there's heat in those different types of mugra, this is how it changes the compound and the colour format. And
that helps with the storytelling.
It does.
Whether it be dance, whether it be, clothing.
Correct.
And bush tucker, whatever, you know.
That's
all
it.
The above. Because I'm so very excited. I'm pumped up here.
Oh, we find career. It really exciting. Yeah. I think one of the things that we are saying, you know, we're putting the chief scientists on notice. Mm. You only have one element of the science story. So it's your data set that you bring to the table.
Yes.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have the dance, the song, you know, the evidence-based dance. Mm. We have that. We have the evidence-based story.
We're the professors. We're the scientists.
Correct.
Your artwork
we
is
have the
code.
Story.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, like
exactly.
the original code.
Correct.
Exactly.
You know, and what we're bringing to T-Bay is we're sponsoring Climate Action School program to go in there. So it teaches the kids lean manufacturing.
Okay.
So iterative improvements to how so we need supply chain, like, for our plastics.
Mm.
So the kids will learn about what the life cycle analysis of the stuff that they're consuming every day.
Yes.
And then what we need is four types of plastics for the house, that were houses, and how do we identify where those supply chains are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spoke to the principal about sponsoring them, and they were like, oh my God, this is like nothing else, because normal sponsorship is like, hey, we'll give you $25,000 a year.
Sure.
We're like, we'll give you $25,000 once, and that will generate $100,000 worth of income for your school every year. Year following.
Beautiful.
So
That's
we
fantastic.
Give once and show them how to fish.
Yep. Mm. Build it and they will come.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So look, fantastic girls. When is the, how do people get in touch with you guys? I mean, are you like a web page as such?
Absolutely. We both do. The event and booking the event is on illuminatefnq.com.au.
Illuminate FNQ, yes.
And we're Circular Economy FNQ. If you Google that, you'll see our little green logo that is circular and looks like a data image. Just go on there, you'll see information about the microfactories, because we've got another microfactory that's based on pyrolysis.
Yes.
And everything we're doing for our training will be at a literacy level of grade 3. And I'd like to give a shout out to Ravenstow State High School, because there were the four boys that came down to the Smart Green Economy Student Conference last year that we organised sponsorship for. Right at the end of the conference, you know what they said? They said they want to focus on SDG 15 from a First Nations point of view.
Whoa, beautiful.
And nobody has ever said that. It
Whoa.
Blew my mind.
Okay.
And I cried that night.
Yeah.
These two of those four boys have a literacy level of yeah. year three.
Okay.
But they came up with that.
They saw the vision.
They came up with that. So the intelligence we celebrate at schools has always been academics and sports.
Mm.
There's so many other intelligences.
Exactly.
I always say
we need more black success, and not only on the football field.
You know?
Well, we're trying to put Ivy into the league.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I love that, girl. Gee, sharp, sister. Girls, thank you so very much. Fantastic. And so all you deadly mob out there, Google Circular Economy FNQ, Illuminate FNQ, Cairns Rehab Turtle Centre, and also Cairns Children Museum, and talk about saving the planet, talking about entrepreneurship, talking about science, talking about education, talking about black people at the table. Look, this is fantastic, girls. So thank you very much for the yarn. We'll be in touch, and we'll have more yarns on this program. Don't worry about that.
We'd love to. Thank you.
All the best, girls.
Thank you. See you at the festival.
I hear you. Bye, girls.
See ya.
A deadly yarn there with our beautiful sisters there. We have Irene Portelli. She's from Circular Economy FNQ, and also Sharon Kavanagh Luskin, and she's from Illuminate FNQ. And a big shout out to Cairns Rehab Turtle Centre, Cairns Children Museum as well. They're the four business entities who are at the table in a joint venture in regarding pushing science across the pathway, and as an industry, and as a career pathway, and not just a job. It's fantastic looking after planet Earth, creating houses. I'm loving the yarn I had there with Irene about plastic houses, and look, saving the turtles, saving the marine life in regarding get rid of the pollution of rubbish and turn it into houses, and we're streaming out for houses and cheaper way of doing it. And look, it's all here in far north Queensland. There's the deep north, they call it. I love that too. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, your mob, with Trinity Trev, Murray from Macquarie. National Talk Black, 1 hour program live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, Nationalist Radio Service. National Talk Black, too deadly. Bhagat Varanasi.